All right, TFQ. Sinéad, Carr, Sexton, Hannan. It's a big four to get us all the way through
this. It's officey, isn't it?
It's become a little bit officey.
Like, I know I'm only office adjacent, really. But like, Steph is the only non-office denomination on the around the table.
Yep, at this point.
To some extent, this is quite officey.
Are you all right with that?
I'm all right with it, yeah.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice when you come in.
Thanks. Said that like I don't.
To be honest,
just for the list, I've done 3 days in the office this week, including one where I went all the way to the Midlands, Oakham, a place. The place was called 3 Hour Drive and 3 Hours Back. It was a hell of a slog.
All the while, there's about 300 people going, I thought this cunt left.
I know.
Yeah, yeah.
Why did you?
Including Steve Clark. Yeah. I thought you packed in the Anfield wrap. I said Steve Clark when you got there.
Kenny said you'd left.
Yeah, Kenny. Yep. That's the Robertson documentary. You excited about it?
Yeah, I really am. Yeah, it's coming together nicely. He says, as he piles more interviews on to the per video team and the editors.
What about me?
The funny
and Josh.
The funny thing is, everyone keeps meeting Kev Riley and talking about who they've interviewed, and Kev Riley's like, "Why are you all interviewing all my heroes and I'm never there?"
It's got a little bit out of hand. Neil knows me, and Neil knows that I'll sell an idea and then I'll add, a flake and an extra scoop and some sprinkles on the top and make it a double cone. That's sort of how I work. And it's became that. But Jordan seems as if he's happy with the edit so far. Some brilliant interviews, some brilliant people on it. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
The posters are up in town.
The posters are up in town. That's me putting pressure on them. This documentary is fucking going out because I've just told people. Big billboard at Anfield tomorrow. So I'll just tease it until they have to put it out.
Until it emerges fully formed. Yeah, it's a piece of narrative art.
It will be brilliant though. Like we've spoken to people from sort of every aspect of his career. His agent's been brilliant with us in terms of helping us speak to people and reaching out to people who maybe didn't get back to me, which is why Steve Clark was so late, which is why Steve Bruce has been late in the day. Both brilliant. And it seems like something that like the player himself is like, quite excited to watch. So that's why we do it, isn't it?
Did you do Brucey in the end, Neil?
I did Brucey, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I did Brucey.
Unreal.
I enjoyed hanging out in Utterford.
Nice place, isn't it?
Oh God, yeah. I'll tell you what.
Probably the best of us, really.
I think I was surprised how leafy. Yeah. I would describe
well,
it as
Park, of course. So
because in my head, ultimately, it was a disappointing service station, and the truth of the matter is, there's a lot more to Knutsford than that.
No,
You're also not used to Leafs, you know, being in the North End, are you?
Exactly. You know? No, this is a big part of it. So yeah, I was all surprised by exactly how country it was. Tons of beaches.
I'm just thinking of it on air admin here. We had an idea, I think, driving back from one of the interviews that we were going to do a behind the scenes podcast about how everything came together and tell some of the stories. So I'm just saying this now to you for your schedule.
Yeah, whenever you're ready.
That's all right, yeah.
Yeah. When do you want to do that?
I'll try and clear mine for you.
Yeah.
When do you want to do that?
Probably the week that it's out.
No.
I felt like you were looking at the calendar there. Yeah.
No. No.
Come on, a little balloon.
Come on. Come on. Come on. What I was thinking was that'd be a good thing that could go with as a companion piece to like, as we're putting the interviews out through June.
I thought you were right to say this would be a good piece we put out the week before. More teasers. No, pressure.
It's sufficiently toes. This. I don't think it could be toes anymore at this stage. I like its oblique references that started. Then we move from there.
By the way, just before we move on, we've just seen Jordan do a shot of tequila in the office. He's the man that's been editing it like for the past week. He's in the trenches with it at the minute. They're trying to rejig things.
Ash just watched a bit and said he really liked it, so there's maybe it's a spoiler, but
and yet Jordan still just did a shot of tequila.
Raw dogged it.
I mean, that's the only way to do a shot, isn't it? What's the opposite of raw dog?
Well, it's without a beer.
Like, mixing it with something.
Don't tell you what is the opposite of raw dog.
Cup cap.
Ready to take us, Jimmy?
Contraception.
It could be just be that itself. Strong. strong sexual health work.
Does show there are several meanings to raw dogging first.
Yeah. Strong sexual health work there.
There's remembering your headphones on a flight. That's another episode of raw dogging.
Yeah.
Nice.
Excellent. What are you up to this weekend, Steph? What are you doing tonight?
Don't know. I haven't made any firm plans tonight. I'm open to offers and entertainment and suggestions, or I'm going to go home and do all the laundry that I've not done all week because I've been away with work. I'm very glad that all the ticketing stuff's been resolved, so I don't have to have a get up early tomorrow for the match. We can all have a bit of a lie-in, and then we'll see where the rest of the weekend goes. Lovely stuff.
Honestly, there's so many good reasons why I made the ticket and things sorted, but I just know it means I can buy water in the ground to deal with the hangover I'm going to have tomorrow. It's genuinely the reason why I'm like, thank fuck for that. I can get in the ground and buy 3 bottles of water. Perfect. And no one's going to judge me for it.
I felt really awful the last few games that's been a thing. Like to the point that I didn't realise how awful I would feel, and I wonder if it's like a placebo effect where I'm like, because I know I can't do this, everything within me is like, God, you'd love a beer, lad, wouldn't you? How much would you like a beer? How much would you like a Bovril, you?
You name it, you want it right
never
now.
Not a Bovril.
That aspect of it I've actually quite enjoyed. It's not having the pressure or even the decision. The decision's out of your hands on the beer. Like, you can't have one. So, you know, you're forced to. I've quite enjoyed that rather than like, oh, I have to leave a bit early now. I have to stand in the queue. I need to work out a way in which I'm going to navigate this beer before the end of the... It all becomes a bit too much sometimes. It was just the decision was made for me.
Some real insight into Greg's mind here, isn't it?
You're raw dogging this half. Get on with it.
And then the same thing through half time, and then the same thing in the second half when you're fucking parched.
Yeah.
That was so. You may have things that you're up to tonight. You're not quite sure.
I've no idea. No firm plans.
Okay, Jimmy, what are you up to today, tomorrow? So you obviously the match tomorrow.
Yeah, match tomorrow. Got a 16th birthday bash today. My little sister's.
Oh, that's very very sweet.
So got that tonight and tomorrow and Sunday. She's milking it.
She's 16.
She's milking
birth
it.
Week. Yeah.
She's milking it big time. Yeah. But I'm still fucking off the match tomorrow.
Rightly so.
Solid excuse.
All right, all rock solid. Josh, what are you up to?
Well, I said to you off air, I'm having an all-timer context pint, really. I've had a mate who's just gone through a course of chemo and has got the all clear, and this can be his first bevy after it. So, I mean, anything could come out, really, but we've kind of done the heavy bit, I think. So, I've already thrown a little joke in there to him last night, and he's like, oh, we're doing this already, are we? So, I'm just going to tear a strip off him the minute I see him. I think that's probably the way to go. Let him know I'm there from minute one, and then
let him know what you're about.
Yeah, get my retaliation in first. Yeah, I don't know what I'd be retaliating for.
We're not taking any prisoners.
No, exactly.
At this stage.
90 minutes of sheer hell before he gets back on the train prematurely and goes.
And what are you doing tonight?
We are going to Hotel Anfield, aren't we? To something I don't really know what it is, other than I know there's a lot of people from supporters clubs that we've done work with or done live events with and stuff like that that become friends will be there. So looking forward to that. Yeah,
I'm really looking forward to it. So my position is to not really know what it is. Because that, like, Hotel Anfield wanted to be really good, and my attitude is we'll know about half the people there, and we could do it without microphones. I'm the most utterly relaxed as I could possibly be before getting in front of people and talking. This'll be fine. I'm really, really, very, very relaxed about it. So
we've heard all our jokes anyway.
Yeah, exactly. I've got to come up with new ones. So I might as well just do it on the spot. What am I going to do? Go from there. Yeah, no, I'm very much looking forward to going to have a really nice night in Hotel Anfield, and then the match tomorrow. When I've got to get back to Anfield tomorrow to do something with TNT at what they've called Paisley Square. Is Paisley Square? Is that
never heard of it?
What
is that? It's just outside the main stand, is it?
Is it that bit?
Because of the statue. Is that why they've called it?
It could be that bit.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
I'm going to ask for greater clarification in the morning, I'm horrified about the idea of being around Anfield at 10:20 tomorrow morning to do this, but fine. And to ask me about, I think I'm the worst person TNT could possibly have got, because if they say to me, how do you think this match is going to go, it's a fair chance my answer will be, I think it could be fucking awful.
Oh,
is it
a preview for the match? It's not for like Salah or Robertson or something? Oh, God.
Yeah. What are your thoughts?
That's the graveyard shift, that
one. What are your thoughts on this game? I go, well, to be honest with you, I think it could be the worst thing you've ever put on television.
They're both shite.
We've got no one who can score. They've got some lads who can score, but none of them try.
They're not interested.
No. No, our lads look like they're trying. It's concerning.
Who's their manager?
Some guy.
Jody Morris again.
It's not even Jody Morris. Jody Morris it should be Jody Morris, but it's not even Jody Morris.
It's just
like footy manager regens of Liam Rossini, isn't it?
Yeah.
They all are. Like, you know, like they are, aren't they? Yeah. They're just these new managers. You know, some of which have managed before.
His name's Callum something, I think.
Callum McFarlane.
Callum McFarlane, voice off the back there. Great stuff. Yeah. Callum McFarlane, and he just genuinely looks like he's just rocked up and was wearing the coat, and they've gone, all right, then, yeah, do you want to do it?
Just pulled him out of the shed end,
just pulled him out of Moss Bros on fucking
the
door. Yeah.
Honestly, so are you looking forward to the match? No, I think one side's dreadfully coached and the other one's Chelsea. quite something over and over again.
Maybe not one for us to ask DNT for the clip then, is it?
Well, we asked him his first question, he started sobbing.
Through the sobs, you could just say £7 a month.
Yeah, was hungover, despondent. Boyd, if Isak starts, you know, that is one of the things. If Isak starts, everything changes. At least there'll be something that you're looking forward to seeing and going from there. Yeah, quite something all the way through. All right, we're going to start. We'll do some of the questions as we've gone through. First one is Tom Fahey, the wonderful Aston Villa's Tom Fahey, who says this: hangover cures, please. And he goes home remedies.
God, I fucking love him. Late in the day for those, surely.
Is he in the
trenches?
He is. I suspect he is in the trenches. Let me show you what he sent me last night. Whilst everyone is here, I might even make it the image of the show. This is his last picture from last night. There we are.
Incredible.
Tom Fahey last night, just his hand, carrying a buzz ball.
Unbelievable stuff. I love this so much. Because, like, whenever Aston Villa do win, there's two people I think of. It's your mate Wacker and Tom Fahey. And I'm always just like, I'm made up for just those two people. But I think I was made up for, like, everybody who's ever been associated with Aston Villa Football Club last night, because of how much I fucking hate Nottingham Forest. And it's only whenever I see Nottingham Forest in a big game that means something that I'm always just like, I've realised now how much I fucking hate Nottingham Forest.
Yeah. I also hated their the celebrations that I think it was TNT put up, where it was like it was a reporter outside and everyone was celebrating after the first leg, and I was thinking,
oh, fireworks
going
off.
They were all in the mics going, it looked like they'd gone through.
You'd have thought they were 4-0
up. And also I really like Aston Villa as a football team. I don't know why, I just always have. Like, I love the kit. I love, like, the stadium's fucking brilliant, isn't it? Like,
it gets on top
of you. It's proper traditional, but, like, still feels modern at the same time. The crowd get on top of you. And I love John McGinn. I fucking love John McGinn.
Close personal friend.
Yeah,
you interviewed John McGinn?
Josh interviewed him. We did him for the Robertson talk. He's brilliant. You want a pint with him.
Yeah.
But I was made up watching him. Like, it's funny with him, because we've interviewed quite a few people, and one of them is a Hearts player, Lauren Shankland, and I've got banging the Hearts off the back of him. And if anyone's watching the SPL at the minute, it's so much fun. It's brilliant. They just beat Rangers and he scores the winner, and I'm jumping up and down like going mad, forgetting that I am not a jam tart or whatever they call themselves, but maybe I am.
Yeah, I was, Jimmy, I mean, I think I am powerfully pro-John McGinn, yeah, and have been for the longest time. Watching him celebrate last night was absolutely brilliant. It was a proper sprinting captain, fucking come on, bit of moment.
So four knee slides in one way. With his goggles on as well. Oh, he's brilliant, isn't he? I watched it last night and Forrest are just shite. I don't know why Vito Pereira set up with two strikers. I don't really want to go with, like, tactical analysis on you. but in the end, it ended up in two John McGinn goals. I was fucking made up.
The goals are amazing as well.
The first goal, how he strikes, that's
so good.
But I think as well, the keeper, is it Ortega who's in goal for Forest? When he runs onto the second one, he's like, oh, he's going to go the same way. And he steps. You watch him step the other way and you go, oh, it's being fucking sent by John McGinn. He's doing all that to him, having them all off. But I think the worst thing about last night was Jordan, that game. I was in a football manager game against Millwall. I went 1-0 down and got beat, and I was fucking livid. And then I watched John McGinn celebrate like that.
How quickly he celebrates to the first goal. Like, I've never seen John McGinn run so fast. Yeah, you watch it back, the burst of acceleration and adrenaline is brilliant.
Where's John McGinn come from there?
Yeah.
It was just so much fun, Steph. It shouldn't be meant to be another Premier League team, and you're meant to go, oh, it's driving me mad, this. And ultimately, I was watching it when he scored that first one. I was like, come on!
It was brilliant. And my big thing is I've got a real soft spot for Unai Emery as well. And I think there's a narrative that maybe we don't want to talk about. But imagine him with a nice, shiny European trophy on a bus parade while Arsenal maybe haven't got one, because I don't think they treated him particularly well. So I'm in it for that side of it. But yeah, I enjoyed last night thoroughly. I fucking hate Forest. I worked in Newark for a long time with a lot of Forest fans. They're all assholes.
Was in with Arsenal, basically the only one he's lost, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Who was the Chelsea manager then? Was that Sarri?
It could have been Sarri.
We were on the bus, weren't we? Were we going to Madrid?
Were we on the bus or coming back? It was bus life. I don't fucking know what we were doing, to be honest with you.
All mashed into one. But yeah, I'm sure we were like trying to watch it in some guys.
Everyone was trying to get it on the phone and no one could get signal. And it was sort of glitching in and out. And there was, we were firmly ensconced in bus life. It must have been before, because it was the Europa League final. You know, that's always before the Champions League final, isn't it? So
in my head, that game didn't even happen. Because also, like, if you see any sort of highlights from it, it's really rainy and doesn't look like it should be a Europa League final. The grass is green and the sponsors, it just looked really greeny
I think part of why we actually thought we didn't have a decent feed was because how awful the match looked. The feed could have been absolutely fine, but we're all like, fucking refresh that. There's no way that's the football match.
It's the least aesthetically pleasing European Cup final you'll ever see.
The biggest thing about it, though, was the fact that Mkhitaryan couldn't go. Because they were threatening to kill him, weren't they?
There was loads of weirdness. There was a war
with Azerbaijan and Armenia at the time. And basically all like the Azerbaijanians would come out and said, if Mkhitaryan comes, we're going to fucking blow his brains out. That's literally what they said. And he didn't go and they got hammered 4-0.
It was 4-0, wasn't it? Yeah, they got absolutely battered. I think that shows the power of Arsenal to show weakness at key moments, that it even undid the power of Unai Emery to just win the Europa League.
Can you just say this on TNT tomorrow, please? Fuck off our game. God, imagine it.
I did enjoy your retweet the other day, because I've got like a minor soapboxing which probably doesn't fit in any other show to do with this. Like, just let Arsenal celebrate the semi-final. I understand it's probably a bit over the top, but my favourite celebration we've ever done is after a semi-final with Barcelona. So like, the celebration police
was that
stuff
a thing,
like,
was it?
People on Twitter just being like,
no, honestly, let them get stuck in. And also because I actually think they've spent 2.5 years being so abjectly miserable about even their own successes, and the celebrations have all felt a bit blag in ways when they've done the celebration stuff a little bit forced, whereas literally getting to a European Cup final when you win the home leg is brilliant.
And also
can I go and do it now?
They're only going to get beat anyway. That for me is more reason to celebrate the game get beaten. Then if you think you're going to lose to the lads in the final, I'd probably be more like, I'm going to celebrate the semi then.
Also, the celebrations I've had were always better in the semis than they were actually after the finals.
And also, to be clear, I'm not in any position to judge how anyone responds to getting to a Champions League final, given the fact that it's possibly worth saying, winning at the Hill Dickinson's the best night of my life.
And that genuinely was celebrations like bigger than any sort of cup final.
Just to the point at which I thought it had dissipated, Steph got up in the Croc karaoke and did Call Me Maybe.
Didn't even put my name down for it. Jimmy was just like, come on. And apparently that was my drunken song of choice.
What a man, just sorts things out. Absolutely phenomenal all the way through. So no, we can't start judging that. Any hangover cures? That was the premise of the question.
John McGinn is the hangover.
What's John McGinn's goal again? Yeah. And until you feel better, just keep watching it.
Go back to the off, you get another buzz ball, and then stick John McGinn on repeat.
Yeah.
Sound.
John McGinn.
Yeah, and some electrolytes and hydration, I think.
Yeah, go on.
Just get back
I'm just having another pint. But like,
you've got to go back to work.
Electrolytes, hydration, and another pint.
If you do it all.
Let me talk you through the Atkinson.
you have, but go on.
It's the full Atkinson.
It is a full English.
Yeah.
With a pint of Guinness, half lemonade, half orange juice, a cup of tea that comes as standard with the breakfast. And a pint of water. Four drinks.
Yeah, it's all about
See, I'm a 3-drink goblin as standard, but four's pushing it.
Four drinks. You could talk me into a vodka and orange if you really wanted to make it five.
Nah, but you know what? An orange and lemonade is an underrated.
Actually, what the main hangover cure is, when past Craig is at the shop, see something for future Craig whenever he is hangover. Past Craig buys the drink, puts it in the fridge. Future Craig... and then current Craig forgets about it, and then wakes up, goes in, is looking for just anything, and he sees it. It's there in all its glory. It's Lucozade, the blue raspberry sport one. Sensational. Unbelievable. That's what lifts you.
Little lifts.
We should give John Milburn a shout out here with the 70-30 as well, because that has saved the three of us, especially in some airport lounges down the years. Not even lounges, just airport bars.
Yeah, airport, you name it. The 70-30 is indeed part of this. It's everything, Jimmy. It's both what you want, which is your back on it, but it's also some hydration and electrolytes.
Can we talk about the preparation as well? It's not just the post, it's the pre. The miracle tablets that Ben Jono got us for Glastonbury. Yeah. They're a tenner on Amazon for like three packs, and you take them before you drink. And every time I've done it, I've been sweet the next day. Breaks down the alcohol while you're drinking it.
Yep, it does. It helps you out massively. May not be entirely legal in this country, but it's one of them. It'll be fine.
You can get the minor details.
Minor details. Steph, John Gibbons wants to know, would you rather be called a cunt or a spanner?
Oh, cunt's my favourite word.
There we go. All day.
Yeah.
Yep. Would rather
I hate
called-
these, like, you know, when it was that phase of everything in like political discourse was everybody was a cockwomble and all that, and spanner falls into that equation for me. If you're going to insult somebody properly, call me a cunt, say it with your chest.
So you would rather just be called a cunt than a spanner? Would you rather be called a cunt?
100% a cunt.
Cunt than spanner?
There's two meanings of cunt though, isn't there? So like, yeah, I could be called
you could be a sound cunt.
I could be a sexy cunt, or I could be a stupid cunt. And it's like both completely different ends of the spectrum. But if I'm getting called a spanner, I'm being called really fucking stupid.
Yeah, you're a fucking spanner. Yeah, I'm go on.
It kind of depends who's calling me. I think like it would be genuinely accent dependent. Like if it was a Scouser, an Australian person, a Scottish person,
your ma,
yeah, any of those people,
any Irish,
any Irish, they can all get away with it. Like a man called me, I'd have a little bit more of like a come on. We're all reds.
But
imagine a Mancunian calling you a spanner.
Spanner. Fucking spanner. Spanner. Yeah, but then I'd just be like, fuck off.
Spanner.
You don't want to be called like a tool, a spanner, a sausage.
Balloon.
A balloon
is always the one that gets me.
A goat is a good one back home. Yeah. He's a fucking goat, him. Ugh. And as you say, goat can have sort of, cunt can have sort of a kind meaning.
So can goat. Nice. You've called me the goat a couple of times.
Acting the goat's different as well, because it's not a bit like, oh, he's a fucking goat.
You've missed that.
Just a goat. Acting the goat and a goat, for the way you're saying goat, are two like, very different things.
Acting the goat, it's quite funny. He's been acting the goat, him. Anyway, yeah. Yeah, I was just going to apologise for saying cunt so many times there to the mostly American audience that aren't into it.
Oh, yeah, they don't like it.
It's Gibbons' fault. He asked.
Yeah,
it's Gibbons' fault. He set us up for it, unfortunately. He probably wants us to carry the can, and yet we're going to very much point the finger of blame at him.
I did say the word in my second sentence on this podcast. I just realised.
Did you?
Yeah. So again, apologies to the...
That's all right. They'll be all right. Yeah. I think they know what they're getting into now. Mm. I mean, maybe one or two of them is going to say otherwise at some point, but I think they know what they're getting into at this point. Surely.
Just don't play AFQs in the car with your kids.
No, never do that.
My nieces love it. Absolutely love it. Have no interest in football chat, but they want to hear people just chatting absolute nonsense.
Are they Andy's kids?
Yeah.
Well, then, they're probably going to hear some swear words in the time anyway. Yeah.
All right. Where are we? What is next? Danny Mac asks this. If you had to be a best man at any of the players' weddings, who would it be?
None of them. Fuck them all.
Current climate.
Freddie
Woodman. Yeah, you've got to be best man at any of the weddings. Got to say a few nice words about them. Who are you going for?
I mean, Andy Robertson feels like that's the stock answer, isn't it, for everyone?
Well, it always is for these things. I'm going to even rule them out. You can't have Robertson. You can't say Robertson.
I might go Curtis, because it would be a bit like... He'd been your best mate because you've grown up with him a bit, so you could talk about like when he was younger and stuff like that, and then talk about like what he's like now.
Yeah,
that feels like the sort of most logical answer, at least.
Go on.
Robertson's the most emotional one, isn't it? Like, he's just the one who you could imagine going for a pint with. So,
nah, he's also the best crack. Like that, the stag do would have been brilliant. You can have good stories on that.
I reckon
like
the Kirkhead stag do would go off, you know.
Do you?
Yeah,
would just be fun.
Be like the Hangover.
No, that was going to be my answer, but then I thought, well, if I'm best woman, I've got to keep him in check, and I don't think I could deal with that. You've got to have somebody that can maybe look after themselves and get them home.
He'd love an adult soft play Kirk has, wouldn't he?
Speaking as a man who's been a best man three times, I've never looked after the group very well. So.
He's dead. Kirk has his dead. He's eager to go and shoot guns.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, lads, I don't want to fucking shoot guns. It's shit. I'm going to go out the middle of nowhere. It's a cab for ages. And he's like, I want to shoot guns. And you're like, for fuck's sake. Yeah. We're shooting guns.
And your hangover means you don't want to hear the sound of guns, whereas he's just powering through the whole time.
You have shotguns on a stag or anything. Anyone?
Shooting guns is boss.
Yeah,
shooting guns is brilliant.
I don't think we're allowed back home.
I was an all right. I was all right. Yeah, no, understandably. No, it's very much in the middle of nowhere. Like you go to Budapest and someone says, "Do you want to come out here and do a bit of this?" I was all right from long range. Transpired. Surprised me.
Nice.
I was hungover to fuck and hated every minute of it, but I think my brain went, if you start to shoot the targets, this will end.
Steady Hans Atkinson.
You'll no longer be here. If you end this, you'll no longer be here. That'll be good. So are you gonna stick with Kirkus? No, you're gonna change.
I'm gonna go Hugo.
Okay.
I think we can have a nice time with some fancy clothes and go somewhere nice.
I was going to say it might be a bit too vibey almost, but if you're into that,
I think you've got some budgets as well to play with there.
Exactly. I think I'm too trashy for Hugo Akatike.
Yeah,
I'd want to just rage. You've seen there's a video going around on Instagram at the moment of this just like really nice man showing you how he sets up for a house party and all the comments under it like, I'd love to get you fucking ruined at this house party. That's a bit how I feel about Hugo Akatike.
Yeah. But I haven't got to worry about cleaning it up afterwards.
No, absolutely not.
That's his problem.
That's getting done externally.
There we go.
Yeah. Craig?
Robbie whispered Connor Bradley, but like, I wouldn't want to upset his family.
No.
You know, like, I don't have that in me. And, you know, yeah. That's just, I just feel as if there'd be too much on the line with that one.
Yeah, imagine like you've
I
done
want someone that, like, after I can sort of, well, as soon as he leaves Liverpool and cut ties with him, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, not that bothered
like,
by
that
it.
Was fun to do that for them, told a funny speech, went on honeymoon, sung a song a bit, fucked them off at the end.
Chiesa, the food would be good.
No, he's just shit a footballer, isn't he?
I think I just have a guy
on the whole time.
You haven't got to play footy on the stag, is what I would say. In fact, it's frowned upon.
Is it frowned upon?
Present the bike here, is
it? Looks like it on the pitch.
Doesn't want to do that. Fucking hell, you're messing.
Just think of Robertson's mates.
I've said you can't have Robertson.
But he plays for Liverpool.
You can't have him though, because you could all just say, "Well, it'd be Robertson," because it would.
Making up rules.
I am making up rules. Yeah.
AFQ.
I am making up rules.
Rob Kirkes.
Yeah, it'd be wild.
It'd be fucking bananas, and I think it'd be brilliant.
Yeah,
you'd literally go on a water slide, and you'd have guns in your hands and drills and all that sort of shite, and it'd be brilliant, wouldn't it?
I think that's a big part of this.
Imagine watching Kirkes do a Jaeger bomb.
Because trust me, he would.
Give me 10 more and then start running around the table like a child. I'm all for it.
All right, where are we? How could you eat more fish fingers or chicken nuggets, one sitting?
Chicken nuggets. Mm. I can like barely touching the sides do the 20 portion from McDonald's. Like honestly, I think I reckon I could like make a serious dent in a second load. I've never tried it, but like this, honestly, it's like watching a normal person eat six.
Fish fingers.
No, I was going to say, can I clarify? Are we talking breaded or battered fish finger? Because I think that makes a difference.
I think we're talking breaded.
Your bird's eye.
I've seen Josh on numerous occasions because we've stayed over in hotels and stuff. I've
also spent a lot of time together.
I've spent a lot of time being in the hotel bed beside you where you've caught in with a box of 20 chicken nuggets, cleared them completely, and then falls asleep sitting upright with like some sort of technology in his hand. And this is it's like
should it, clarify that means not, either a laptop or a phone.
Yeah.
Nintendo Switch. Yeah.
It's a joke as like how many times it happens, but he just like falls asleep with like, I don't know, mid-scroll. I've never seen anything like it. It's incredible. The laptop will be on. He'll have just been on Twitter. He falls asleep. It's sensational work.
After 20 nuggets,
yeah.
What's your dip combo for your nuggets?
Barbecue.
Just all barbecue?
Bit classic like that, yeah. Like I do like
20 nuggets just with barbecue sauce.
Yeah. I love the McDonald's barbecue because it's almost got like a little bit of like a alcohol-y taste to it as well. So when you've been drinking all night anyway, it's just a great like accompaniment to the night. Feels like you're getting more pish, but then you pass out.
Also, people don't talk about McDonald's ketchup, and it is top tier. It's unbelievable.
It's just Heinz, though, isn't it?
No, it's not. You think it is, but it's not. The label. It's not.
You're a bit of a receptacle nonce, though. To be fair, like you're.
You're, for the audience,
you're like just fascinated by like different delivery system things. So you're one of those people who'd be like, a glass of Coke is like better than a bottle of like plastic bottle of Coke and all that kind of stuff. Can is different to a bottle. I know there are like subtle differences, but I think you maybe overplay them a little bit. Like that is still just Heinz ketchup.
And on what aspect of this is being a nonce?
Chicken nuggets or fish fingers?
Gotta be nuggets.
Nuggets.
Curry sauce as well.
Nuggets. Yeah.
Everyone is of the view nuggets would be what got them through. All right, where are we? What did I want to do next? I did have one that I wanted to do next for certain. You might actually already have given your answer to this one, Craig. Paul Hewson says, if Liverpool suddenly folded, who would you follow? A local grassroots non-league team, AFC Liverpool, Marine, another English club, Scottish club, European club, Munich for the drinks, South America, and sack it off completely, or would you just go to Aston Villa?
I don't think I could. I think I would maybe just pack it in. I think if it's happening now at this stage in my life, like I've been like very lucky, and we all have, to watch Liverpool win essentially everything over the past 10 years or whatever. And then everything that happens before that, I feel like I'd just go, I did very well there.
You'd probably still
fan.
Do a bit of Northern Ireland, wouldn't you,
yeah,
as well?
Yeah, of course, so you've got, that's yeah, not you've the got question. The question is, like, would you get a new club? And I'm not into enough other football to think, yeah, no, I would. You know, like, people would want it to be part of the routine, go and watch non-league or whatever. I wouldn't. I'd find something else at this stage, I think.
All right. Josh, what would you do?
Yeah, it's hard. Like, I used to go and watch Macclesfield a lot when I was a kid and, like, couldn't get to Anfield. But they've even become, like, something very different now because it's all a bit, like, sort of financial doping through the lower leagues there. So I'm probably similar to Craig. I know it's, like, the sort of boring answer, but I'd probably just jack it in. That's what I was saying about Craig with Northern Ireland as well. I was like, I wouldn't even have a country necessarily to fall back on because, like, I can't get myself up for England, really. So... And maybe just, I was chatting a lot to Ash when we went to Steve Clark about like just supporting what I always call the home nations in general. So like Northern Ireland, Scotland and Wales, forgetting England. Like I always feel like they're just loads of fun. So I'd probably just like maybe try and support all three of them, like as in home and away.
There's a lot to be said for like, one of the reasons why I love supporting Northern Ireland, obviously it's like part of it's because of my mates when we were younger and it was all like it was like a little mini community that we all supported the one. But I think like, it's also brilliant supporting a team from a completely different perspective, like where you appreciate a goal or a draw, or the context completely changes around what your enjoyment is watching that football team, if that makes sense. So yeah. I think if you had to pick a team, you'd maybe go and look at someone that actually maybe hasn't, you know, won a lot or hasn't had, you know, a lot of joy that, you know, that then that's maybe still to come.
Jimmy, what would you do?
I fucking hate this question, you know, because it's like if you'd answer anything else but Liverpool's reserve, you're a wool. Like, that's like the sort of general perception of it, isn't it?
I thought a strong argument was being made before for Aston Villa, in all seriousness.
But then if you go somewhere in the Premier League, it's like, oh, you're not a fucking true fan, blah, blah, blah. But when I've gone and watched other football teams and, like, gone down to non-league games, I've only really enjoyed it for the pint, if I'm being honest. Or, like, just the piss up in itself. I've not gone and went to watch the football and gone, I like watching this. I don't fucking care.
I think you could possibly convince me to follow the life and work of Iriola. Like, if you said to me, you've got to go and watch some, like,
just
someone.
Follow him.
Just go wherever he goes
go
next.
Watch I was Palace about to say, year. Yeah.
Well, it might be, but if it's Palace, it's Palace. I probably watch more Bournemouth. Like, if a match is just generally on and I'm sitting there wondering what to watch and I'm a bit not sure and there's three games but one of them's Bournemouth, I'll go, I'll put the Bournemouth one on because at least I know football will happen and
do
not
you know what? Right,
filth.
It's such like the thing is like such a mad... it's such a mad sort of move in one sense, but then if you look at how...
Is he actually going to Palace or is this nonsense?
I think Romano was saying it wasn't, he? So
talk like, about it. But like, yeah. If you think about it, like the top, if any team in the sort of the top 8-9 in England have a far better chance of winning European trophies than any other fucking team in any other league, don't they? When you look at it, like look at the European
and
finals
also,
every single
like,
year.
I just think, because me and Walshy had one of our mad Josh and Walshy arguments about this yesterday, which it got to the point where it was about 11 o'clock and I was like, I'm just not dying on this hill. And he was like, you've been dying on it all day, you come. But basically I was saying like it's just job security. Like Palace are in Europe at the moment, they probably keep Iriola around for like a good few years. The only other club has been linked with strongly is United and Chelsea, which like could genuinely be sacked in October. especially with Chelsea. So I just think, like, Palace, you move into like a slightly bigger club in the sense of, like, they'll put a bit more resource in, stadium's bigger. They do feel a bit like a team that would suit Europe a little bit more and have suited Europe a little bit more, having got through the Conference League as well. So, yeah, I just think Bournemouth was probably, like, it all went a bit stagnant, didn't it? And then, like, it's probably just a bit too small for him as well. Like, this is just like a nice little gentle step up. It's quite reassuring, to be honest, to see a manager make like a logical football move rather than like, I've tasted my first slice of success. Let's go to the biggest club I can think of in the country and ultimately flail and not do well in it.
All right.
At Frank Lampard.
Yeah, no idea.
I was thinking Graham Potter in my head, to be honest. Like, he was who I pictured.
Who are you going for, Steph?
Lincoln City. Which sounds a little bit lazy now because they've been promoted to the Championship, but I lived in Lincoln for 18 years, and the club were very good to me when I was, you know, fannying around doing a journalism degree and telling myself I was going to be a sports journalist. They were very supportive of the uni at the time. They were great, and I think they've gone about things in a really good way. I'm really
for a long
excited.
Time actually
that's it, you know. It would have been really easy when the Danny Cowley situation happened and they went on some big cup runs to go in a different direction. They didn't. They've backed the manager that they've got now. I'm really excited to see what they do next season.
Do you stay up?
Do the double over Tottenham?
I think they will. I'm just annoyed that Spurs fans will potentially get a lovely day going to Sintzel Bank, because it is a fun day out.
It's a bigger leap than people think, isn't it?
It is.
League One Championship.
But I think they've gone about it the right way, in a way that it's potentially sustainable. Could look like an idiot this time next year and they could go straight back down. But even if they did, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think they'll do all right, though. And they've got some relatively local derbies to play for, which is what you want if you're going up into the Championship as well. Easy answer.
Easy answer, indeed. John McDicko asks this. What's the best birthday song? And he goes into a second paragraph, which is bold. He says, yes, there's more than your standard happy birthday to you gear, which my youngest hates with a passion. So we've had to switch it up.
So does it mean like the type of happy, like Stevie Wonder happy birthday? Or
I think that's one. That's an option.
Or does he mean like a completely different song to sing to people for the birthday?
No, Happy Birthday to You by Stevie is like, it's a different song to Happy Birthday to You.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to you. Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, I'm going to sort of.
It's got a different, like,
Different. I think that's different enough. I can't think of that many happy birthday songs, though.
I can think of Happy Birthday and Stevie Wonder. That's it.
The trouble is with the Stevie Wonder one, it feels very like Americana, doesn't it? It's like uber American. Like, you could imagine it being like an American diner when they bring like a dessert over to you. I'd like always do the sort of almost jokey route of doing the Michael Jackson Simpsons Lisa It's Your Birthday, Happy Birthday Lisa.
That was what I was going to do. That would
probably
as well.
My second favourite happy birthday song. Otherwise, I think Happy Birthday suffices, to be honest. Sorry, Jonald.
Or your daughter.
Yeah.
Tell her to wind her neck and play her this podcast, but with all the swearing. Yeah.
Just tell her some things in life that she's going to have to put up with, and that's very much one of them.
Yeah, it's not going anywhere. Yeah.
Arlo singing Happy Birthday is one of the scousest things he does, because obviously they do it in nursery like pretty much every week. So it's like Happy Birthday. Like, it's like he says it in a completely different way than I do. It's very sweet. So it's that version, probably.
And the Arlo, the Arlo remix.
Hip hip.
Covering a lot of bases. Has anyone else got any other birthday songs that they can think of? I wouldn't mind Jonald next week maybe supplying us with a list, and we'll go from there, see where we'll end up. Alright, let's do a few more. Ben Ballantyne asks this. As today, it says here, but of course it is the 81st anniversary of VE Day. Which historical celebration would you most like to attend, party and get drunk at? So a historical celebration.
When the Berlin Wall comes down.
Well, that's, I mean, sort of. I was alive when that happened. So I
definitely fucking wasn't.
You said you weren't drinking age. You weren't alive, but you weren't drinking age. When the Berlin Wall comes down.
Berlin Wall comes down. I just think it'd be fucking amazing. Like, imagine that, like being segregated in that way for so long. As coming from somewhere where you're segregated, but like in a completely different way, and then you begin as you get older to break down those like boundaries, to actually be somewhere where there's a fucking wall that they couldn't pass between, and then having that moment of like that shared moment between these two people who are exactly the same but on the other side of a wall, like. Incredible. And also the Germans know how to party as well, so I bet it went on for fucking days. They couldn't get him away from that wall.
Imagine a pint with Nelson Mandela.
Yeah, now releasing Nelson Mandela is a really strong one. As long as you're as close to the action as possible, i.e. Nelson Mandela.
I want to pour him a pint and give him it and then drink it with him. That's all I'm imagining.
That is a good answer. Nelson Mandela, the release of Nelson Mandela, pint given me.
Is there like a romanticised version of the Berlin Wall story? Like, I don't know if this is actually true, but like how the wall came down, apparently people on like either side would just like started necking each other and stuff like that. Like, I was trying to like drag it into the modern day and be like, I wonder if you like you had Tinder and there was somewhere that was like a physical wall and you're like dating someone on the other side of the wall. Fucking hell, the day that wall
do
comes down, it'd be unreal.
Keep walking
it?
Into the wall. Shit.
It's fucking Concert Square, I don't know.
It'd be like chipping away a little bit every day.
That's not
like,
the modern day Berlin Wall is Concert Square. What's the split in them two bars? What's the two bars in the middle?
Yeah, Modo's Checkpoint Charlie.
In between.
Modo's Checkpoint Charlie.
Is that closed now,
Modo? As it goes on all the way through.
Do you ever go to Checkpoint Charlie?
I've been to Checkpoint Charlie.
Underwhelmed.
Ah, oh, shit, isn't it?
You get there and you're like, where is it? And they're like, that's it there. There's a fake American fella. Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's like there's so much wonderful stuff in Berlin. Yeah. So much history in Berlin. There's loads going on in Berlin. And then you go to Checkpoint Charlie and you're like, oh, it literally was just a checkpoint that people called Charlie.
Me and Rebecca went to Berlin for her 21st, and we'd gone to Tresor, which is the like one of the big nightclubs. We tried to get into Berghain, we didn't get in. We went to Tresor, we got in, and it was excellent. We were there all night till the early morning, and the next day I dragged her out on like one of those tourist walks, and there was a point we'd been on this thing for like an hour and a half. We were so hungover and so tired, and it was her 21st birthday, and we were at like the Nazi building, whatever the Nazi building is, and she was like, please, can we just run away? Can we just leave?
Run away is good, by the way.
And that's what we did. We literally bolted. We ran away from the crowd. We didn't say bye to anyone. We didn't apologize to them. We just had to run away. So every time I think of Berlin, I just think of us running away from this walking crowd.
You know, another time you've been to Checkpoint Charlie, don't you?
I do.
Yeah, is when you tried to take us to Kiev. The zoo. No, sorry. But you meant like on the way to Kiev. Yeah, when you tried to take us to the zoo and we ended up very late and very far away from where we needed to be.
Just one of the things that went wrong with all of that.
Basically, we got in a taxi and the driver said something to us in German and Craig went, yeah. And then the door shut and we were off.
I also like the fact that you decided that you were going to drag the Berlin Wall, something that happened whilst I was alive, into the modern era.
Yeah, no,
that was a real high point of this AFQ for me.
Some offence was taken.
I remember the night the Berlin Wall came down, and yet it's very important that we try to drag it into, to be clear, the modern era.
No, sorry, yeah, I meant present day. Sorry, wrong word. Because I was basically just thinking of like literally that, like, if there was someone you were dating on the side of the wall, like, fuck me, imagine when that wall came down.
This is like the thing that you won't watch any films that weren't made this century. This is that, but in historical events.
I've caved on that a little bit now. Watched Sinners recently, enjoyed it.
Sinners?
Yeah.
It was made this century?
That's what I'm saying. I only watch old films. I don't watch anything that's new.
Really?
Sinners
was from a few years ago.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I don't. I was going through a period where I was like all new films.
Oh right.
Yeah.
Oh right.
But
okay.
Sinners is a new film that I watch.
My mate only watches 2000 onwards. So Armageddon, I think, is 2000.
I think
that's like the
Yeah. So he's like the opposite of me. I'm probably like 2010 was my cutoff, and everything after 2010 was shit basically. But no, I've caved on that now.
Okay, what's the historical event you're going to?
Oh, Craig's answer is the only answer. It's the Berlin Wall, for all the reasons that you said.
And it's the Berlin Wall?
Yes.
All right.
I looked really smug about that, didn't I?
Yeah, you were made up.
I was fuming, because as soon as you said it, I was like, that's the answer, and then you went. I was like,
imagine if you were catfishing someone, and the Berlin Wall came down, and you're like, fuck. Talked a big game there.
All the ways you've misunderstood the Berlin Wall to me are absolutely staggering. People were not nipping back and forth.
No, that's what I'm saying though.
Why would you even be in a situation where you were doing a Tinder thing with someone on the other side of the Berlin Wall?
Because Tinder radius doesn't know the walls.
Yeah,
but you're still doing it. But you're still going. You're that side of the wall, then, are you? Oh well, what's the fucking point?
Yeah,
you're not getting sucked in.
It's like a Romeo and Juliet thing. It's like forbidden lovers.
Pen palling, but going like, are you any good looking? I'm class looking. Wait till that wall comes down. No, it will never come down. Then they bring it down. It's like shit.
Little hole where your head is. She can just see your face. And you're like that. And she just fucks off. You're like, oh god.
Yeah. Okay. I'm insufficiently modern to understand.
I'm speechless with that.
Yeah, I'm insufficiently modern to understand. Where are we? Where are we? Oh god. John Blackson asks this question. It's an absolute belter. Recently I deviated on my walk to avoid disturbing a blackbird pecking at a worm. What's the smallest animal you've been intimidated by? Now at the minute we are living under the fucking tyranny of
seagulls.
It's what's it like?
Oh my god. I come out of work yesterday and some poor woman went to take a bite of a wrap and the bastard landed on its head, and she screamed like, no tomorrow.
Well,
and
rightly.
I looked at her and just laughed. Like, I felt so arse because it's happened to me, but I just laughed because I was like, thank fuck it's not me.
What did that have out of your hand the other week?
A fucking butty and a wrapper. A ham and cheese butty from Tesco. I was like, you scab.
Yeah.
Is that open?
No, it was in the wrapper.
No, they don't give a fuck anymore, Josh.
I've been going to Tesco. I've been warning everyone about this. Did I tell you about the time when me and Walsh were walking and it swooped down thinking my phone was food? And I was like, imagine if it just took that and learned how to use it.
The first time it happened to me. I was on a night out and I was absolutely rotten. So I've gone to Mackey's and I've bought two triple cheeseburgers. I've literally pulled them both out. And by the time I've pulled them out, they're both gone. Seagulls took them and I was absolutely devastated. It was more fuming about the fact it was £7 for the
cereal. I was going to blame you because Neil and Craig are generally impatient men when it comes to food. Like, they'll eat food on the move, and I just think that's schoolboy in Liverpool and can't be doing that.
I think I've got to when I'm drunk though. Like, I just don't comprehend everything else. I just think I need to eat this right now, and then it gets taken by me from a seagull and I'm like, oh, what a bastard.
It's horrendous out there at the minute. I've and they're getting bigger. I saw one.
I'm trying to look at my phone because I took a picture of it, and at the time I took a picture and was like, why am I taking a picture of this seagull? I'm never going to do anything with this, but now I'm trying to find it to make use of it. It was fucking massive. It was a joke.
Steve Rotherham know? Like, is he on to
he's the next builder.
I was going
to
say.
He must know. He must fucking know. How he's often? There.
He's not getting a meal deal, though, is he?
I've seen him in the Tesco. I've seen Steve Rotherham in the Tesco. Don't you worry about that. He's a man of the people. I don't know if he's got a club card, but I've seen Steve Rotherham in that Tesco. Honestly, I've said hello to him in there. It is. So he must be on it.
He's almost like false advertising, though, because I've seen him promoting the bendy bus out there, and he wasn't showing the seagulls in the bendy bus promo.
Well, I bet he wasn't. Yeah. Three of them were driving it.
That's why he wasn't there after all.
Honestly, I mean, it's a bad answer to John's question because it says, what's the smallest animal you've been intimidated by? Whereas these things like fucking Jeff Capes. What is the smallest animal you've been intimidated by?
I am scared of spiders, like really scared of them.
Yeah.
Again, Arlo has sort of like repositioned them for me in terms of, like, he calls them mini beasts. I think they must be learning about that in nursery, and it makes
mini beasts is it like a thing? Yeah,
it makes it sound so sweet and cute. So he's like, "What's your favorite mini beast? Is it a spider?" And I'm like, "Fuck no, absolutely not, mini beast." So
do you tell him that? Do you say like, "Daddy's scared of them"?
I try not to because I don't want him to be scared off, because I need someone to fucking get the spiders that isn't me.
So you're gonna make him do that?
Yeah, 100%. The cat used to jump and eat them, which is a bit disgusting, but like, I didn't have to deal with them. I cleared out my shed a few weeks ago, and it was just like, it was one of those where like, we'd just been piling stuff into it, and there was no sort of like, it wasn't by design, so I had to do it. But it was like a spider graveyard. These things were huge, but they were dead. So, you know, put my big boy pants on, and I managed to do it, and I was so proud of myself afterwards.
Because you were all dead.
Spiders kept, like, well, no, there was some where as I'd lift some, they'd scurry away from me, which is a reminder that they're more scared of me than I am scared of them. But I'm still proud of myself.
Yeah, yeah.
Still
proud of myself. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, first and foremost, I'm A, surprised you've got a shed. B, I'm surprised you made use of it.
Why?
C, I'm stunned you're clearing it out.
Why are you surprised you've got a shed?
I just wouldn't have thought. I'm just surprised you've got a shed.
Have you not been to Craig's?
Yeah, only from the outside.
No, you haven't, yeah.
Only from the outside.
Well, we can go in it if you want. It's cleared out.
Yeah, loads of room. Room to stick a spider in.
Graveyard's gone.
Yeah. What's the smallest animal you're intimidated by?
Moths. Fucking hate them. I've come home where I've left a window open, found them, like, turned the light on, they're pinging off the bulb. I've turned it off and left the house again. I've just gone. Because I don't want to deal with it. That's not my problem.
See yourselves out.
Fucking hate them.
Yeah.
Like, talking about it genuinely makes my skin crawl.
Okay. Are they also, I think they're a mini beast, aren't they?
Yeah, 100%.
Are they a moth?
Yeah, they
mini
have
beast?
To be, yeah.
Because I think mini beasts are quite cute. They're like the little, you pick up a rock and they're crawling around. That to me is a mini beast, like centipedes and
I'll have to look at it. I'll
spiders,
ask
beetles.
Ask Arlo. No, Arlo. Don't ask the internet. Arlo is the man who's going to decide what is or isn't a mini beast.
I can ask Rebecca to ask Arlo now.
Oh, great. Yeah. So are moths mini beasts? I would like to know, for all clarity purposes. Jimmy, what's the smallest animal that you deviate a walk
from?
It's
got to be a dog, you know. I'm petrified of dogs.
Are you?
Really?
I'm shit. That's my biggest fear, is dogs.
It must be tough, and it's some days in Avenue HQ for you.
Yeah, when I don't know what the fella's called, but this dog's called Ellie, I know that, and when she comes sniffing around my ankles, I'm like, fuck off. I am absolutely petrified. And the thing does nothing wrong. Like, she doesn't bark, she doesn't jump, but...
It's not Ellie's fault, it's yours, and you know that,
yeah,
but
and
yeah.
I'm absolutely petrified, but I remember I think I was in like year two or year three once, and we were walking off like a
school.
Yeah, it only happened once, don't worry. We were on like a school trip, like to the canal to feed the ducks or some shite, what you do as a kid. And we went there, and on the way, on like the walk back, I could literally see a dog from like the other side of like the cinder path, and I've crawled up my school teacher and ended up on her shoulders, and she was like, what's the matter? I was like, there's a dog. And I was absolutely petrified.
Oh,
I'm shit scared. So when people bring dogs into the office, that's why I run. If you see me just get up and go to the toilet, that's why. There's a dog.
You ever heard the story about Andy Heaton bringing in his new dog into the office?
Shit, oh, so on the floor.
He brought in the new dog into the office, and his reason
pretty
why
sure
he brought
I got a
it
picture
in
and cleaning it up.
Yeah, basically his reason for bringing him in was because I'd seen a picture and gone, oh, that's so cute, I'd love to see it sometime. So he took it upon himself to bring the dog in, but the dog hadn't been trained yet. The dog comes in the office, does a shit, and then Andy, and I wasn't even there that day, and then Andy blamed me in front of everyone, said it was my fault because the dog had shit on the carpet.
It's not your fault, that.
I got back the next day and just heard about all of this drama. It was the funniest thing ever.
And Andy having to clear up the poo there and then. Crack on with it, get it dealt with. Josh, what's the smallest animal that you deviate a walk for?
I'm not really like overly scared like insects. Of, like seagull would be the one that I'm like consistently most scared of. Wasps, like I'm unfortunately the sort of cunt who'd anger wasps and then be scared of them when they're angry. I do quite like the nonchalant, oh, like fuck off, but then if it starts, like you can tell when they get a bit angry, can't you? Then I'd be like, maybe need to move away from this table. So probably, yeah, I'd say a wasp would be the smallest.
I got stung at Newcastle away by a wasp, and it was like a realization that I'd built up the idea of being stung by a wasp as so much worse than it is, because I got stung when I was a kid. And obviously that's much sore, and it happens when you're an adult and it's annoying for like an hour and then you forget about it. So now I'm not scared of them. Like, come at me.
I like,
you know
it.
I mean? Yeah.
Well, that's the spirit.
Swat you away. Yeah. Get rid of you. Little stripy prick.
That'll do.